Yeah, we want to look at Matthew chapter 6. I want to start a new series looking at some things from Matthew's Gospel, in particular chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, you all there? And the title of this series, title of my message today is Put Your Heart Into It. I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 6, a very famous passage of Scripture and found in a section of Matthew's Gospel that we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And so he says in verse 19, Jesus speaking says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves can break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Let's just pray. Father, in Christ's name, now as we turn our attention to your word, God, that you would bless your word to our hearts and glorify your name. Amen. And so here we are. Put your heart into it. Let me ask you a question. What's the simple answer? So now let's not get complicated here in answering this question. But what do you think is the simple answer to what does it mean to put your heart into it? We've said that, or you've heard it said, hey, put your heart into it. You know, what's the simple answer to that? What does that mean when we say that?
Do your best.
Do your best. What else? So do your best. Yeah, that's...
110%.
Huh? Yeah, I think maybe that might be a little bit closer to a simple answer. Listen, put your heart into it. Give 100%. And as we like to say, what? 110%. You know, just to emphasize that by exaggeration, right? So put your heart into it. Give all you got. Give it all you got. This is what we mean when we say that. Now, some of you have seen the movie Rudy. Now, Rudy Rüdiger, he had heart, didn't he? It's a true story, and I know, of course, like all movies, most all movies, you know, there are segments and parts of it that for dramatic effect and so on that don't even come close to being actually what happened. But nevertheless, there's something to be said for he put his heart into it. Some of you know what I'm talking about. The 5'6", 165-pound kid who had a dream to play for Notre Dame, right? Notre Dame football. I mean, think of it. What an unlikely dream to have. And so he, you know, made it through to finally, he got accepted at Notre Dame University and tried out for the football team. 5'6", 165 pounds, defensive lineman. Can you imagine 160 on Notre Dame defensive line? I think it was a defensive end or so. I forget exactly what he was. But how unlikely. And lo and behold, he made the team. Yes, he sat the bench most of the time, got in for one play. But he was there. He showed up. And you watch the movie. There's statistics on the movie that in 2005, it was named one of the best 25 sports movies of the previous 25 years in a poll by ESPN. And there's other statistics about it, you know, how inspiring it is. And when you watch the movie and you look at something like that, and it's even said, you know, it's talked about in the movie that, you know, the coach, you know, used him, Rudy, as an example for having heart. And go so far to say, listen, if the rest of you players had as much heart as this kid had, we'd be something as a team. Put your heart into it. What does it take? It takes heart. And so, as we look at this, Jesus is saying somewhat of the same thing here, putting your heart into it. And I want to look at this. Whatever has your heart has you. Whatever has my heart has me. This being Valentine's Day, I think it's only appropriate to make a special mention of the day. I can still remember the day that Sandra stole my heart away. And looking back on that day, one of our
our first meetings and declaring in my heart, I'm in love. And it would be, even though I don't remember doing it, I probably did somewhere. You know how we write those hearts and an arrow through it and forever yours. You know, Bob and Sandra. And she had my heart from that day forward. And it's like forever yours. You know, whatever has our hearts has us. Whatever has my heart has me. And something or someone, we can say, has you depending on how much you put your heart into that thing. You put your heart into him or her or them. Depending on how much heart you give to something or to someone, that thing or that person has you. And we say to put your heart into something means that you give 100%, 110%. To give anything less than that, to be perhaps, let's say, half-hearted. Well, we know what that means, don't we? You're not all in, you're not all there. And it's just kind of mediocre. But when we give all of our hearts, those things or that person enriches our lives. There is a treasure to be found in that, you know, Sandra is forever mine. I treasure her. You know? And in treasuring her, there's an enrichment that's brought to my life. And so it is with other things that we give our hearts to. Because usually we give our hearts to those things that enrich our lives. Or people or situations. And there's something that comes back to us and enriches our lives that does something for us. And we say, oh, I just treasure them. You know, we treasure our kids. Well, most of the time, you know, we do. We treasure our grandkids. I was thinking, I think it was just this morning, in fact, praying for my grandkids. But thanking God for them. Yes. And started with Trent, the oldest. God, I just want to thank you for Trent. And then little Bobby. And then Sydney. And as I was thanking God for them, it was like, wow, what treasure that our kids have given to us, to Sandra and me as grandparents. And don't we feel that way as grandparents? The treasure. And other things. And people. That we treasure that. And what we're meaning by that is, oh, you've got my heart in such a special way. And that's a good thing. And so we put our hearts into what we treasure. And here's where we have to be careful. And this is a clear call that Jesus is making in this sermon that he's preaching here. And he says to us, you know, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. He's raising a red flag. And God knows how it is that we live. He knows about our hearts. He created us. And he knows this dynamic that's at work in us, that he knows the dynamic of whatever has our heart has us. He knows that what we put our hearts into, we treasure. And so he raises a red flag because we have to be careful. We have to be careful for good reason. And I want to kind of fiddle with that. What Jesus is saying here and looking at it from the standpoint of what he's getting at here. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What he's getting at here in making a distinction. You notice the distinction in this paragraph that he says, you got to be careful because you can invest in the here and now. And he's saying something by that. He's saying, don't do it. Don't do it. It's strong language. Don't store up for yourselves. Don't make your investment things in earth. Now, I just said how these things enrich our lives. And they are good things. But we have to be so careful that we're not equating those things with what makes life really go round. Because he says, don't do it. But he says, on the opposite, store up for yourselves things in heaven. And this is some of what Jesus is getting at here. He's making a distinction between what's temporary and what's eternal. Now, this is hard for us to think about. This is hard for us to fathom because we live in the here and now. You know? I live by what I can see. And this has to so change for us to see that life is more than what we see. Life is more than what the senses are. There are eternal values for which we're living. It's the difference between a quick fix and a lasting fulfillment. And Jesus is saying, don't store up for yourselves things that just give you a quick fix. Fulfillment, yes. Enrich your life, yes, in those good things, but yet it really can't do it for you. Not like investing in heaven. And so this is where I want to go. And I want to end with something, yes, you heard me right, this morning, that is perhaps a little bit counterintuitive, different way of thinking for us about God than we're used to. Okay? Now, when I think about God, and I think about who he is, right? Just follow me here as we put, I was going to say nail the coffin, but as we nail this thing home. Think about this with me. When I think about God and who he is, his attributes, I come up with many names for him. His name is Jesus. And by that, we understand him as our Savior. What other names do we attribute to God? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider. All those Hebrew descriptions, Jehovah Teskenu, some of you know these. The Lord is my healer. The Lord is my provider. All of those things. What other names do we attribute to him, to God?
Yahweh,
he is the Lord. He is the I am. I am that I am. He is. He is God. He is Redeemer. God is love. God is love. He is
the Christ.
He is the Christ, the Messiah. We understand him as the one who came. God sent the Messiah, our King.
Yes.
He is the Lamb of God. Prince of Peace. Now, he is a counselor. Now, by all of these names and more that we can list, we understand by those names attributes of God. In other words, by that name, we understand what kind of God he is. The name is descriptive of the kind of person, the kind of God he is. The way in which he acts from who he is. That's in his name. Well, would you be so surprised if I showed you in Scripture how one of the names of God is something that we don't often think about from Exodus chapter 20, and one that I think fits into the context of what we want to say here this morning of put your heart into it. And how it is that Jesus is sounding a warning. Hey, be careful. Be careful what you invest your life in. Be careful what you're giving your heart to. There's a difference between earth and heaven. There's a difference between what you're going to be investing in the here and now, in things and people, and in eternal things. God in the kingdom. There's a difference. And you got to be careful because one can be a trap that once the door is open, you fall and fall and fall and fall and fall and never hit bottom. You just keep on falling. The other lifts you and brings you to a place of such fulfillment because it's God's design that we would find in Him all that we need. And so He calls Himself by a name here in Exodus chapter 20 and then in Exodus 34 that I just want to look at. Exodus 20 and verse 5. He says, "You shall not bow down to them and worship them." Remember now He is talking to us about the Ten Commandments. And the first commandment is, don't have any other gods before me. And the idea here in linking these two passages is just that. We cross the line when something that we give our hearts to begins to take the place of God in our life. And then instead of enriching our lives, they ensnare our lives. And inasmuch as Sandra captivated my heart, and after 36 years of marriage, be 37, I think, this or 38 this coming June, I love her more now than before, and I think I have a little bit better understanding of what love means. She doesn't have my heart like God has my heart. She doesn't. I like new cars. If I could have a new car at least every other year, I would. I just like new cars. I like the smell of them. I don't know. I just do. Well, there was a time when I was buying a new car every whatever. I'll never forget the Chevy Malibu. I had bought it over in Southington at Southington Chevrolet. It was the deep, richest blue with like meadow flake in it. It had chrome around the wheel wells. It was nice. So one day I walked down the stairs and there I go out to the car. And my daughter, Christina, I don't know, she was probably about Trent's age, was there with her sand in her pail, throwing it at my brand new Chevy Malibu. Well, I had just gotten done worshiping, waxing the car. And it was like, Now, certainly, she was, she needed to be disciplined. But God was unlocking something in my own heart. Rilowitz, it's a piece of metal. You've gone too far. When I say wax that thing, I mean wax it. I bought the latest and greatest wax, and I was out there in that. And it's like, whoa, baby. So there are these things that creep in. And so He says here, now. Watch what He says about Himself. He says, "For I, the Lord, am a what kind of God?"
Jealous.
Are you kidding me? He says, "I'm a jealous God." It doesn't stop there. I got to show you this, okay? About these things that have a tendency to creep in, to wiggle their way in and begin to erode, if not in fact, or what it would come to replace, a spot reserved only for God in our lives. Watch what He says, Exodus chapter 34. Because this will blow your mind. Because in Exodus 34, in verse 14, He not only says, "I am a jealous God," but He actually identifies Himself here. Like He identifies Himself as love, as holy, as Savior, as Messiah, and every other name that we mentioned and can mention as it describes and points to God of who He is. He says in verse 14 of Exodus 34, He says about Himself here in this passage. He says, "Do not worship any other god, for the Lord your God, whose name is what?"
Jealous.
His name is jealous. Is a jealous God. that he identifies himself as jealous. Meaning that there's so much, and we'll talk about this in the weeks to come, but there's so much jammed into this attribute of God. That one of the attributes of God is he's jealous over me in his love for me. That he is careful in that he says to us, don't store up for yourselves things in this earth, but in heaven. He watches over us with jealousy, being careful that there's no competition in my heart for his love there. And so I'm going to say to you this morning, put your heart into it. Is it 100%? 50% there? I think that we get there in time. I am more committed, I can only hope, to the Lord today than I was 5 years ago. But nevertheless, as far as I know right now, I have committed 110%. In that, as I look at this passage of Scripture, I want to say, I want to respond. And you see, here's the thing about this book. Here's the thing about this passage of Scripture. We can go like this, you know, and we read it, wonderful. Close it up, off we go. Or we can take it with us. So, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. It's going to fade away. That's the idea between moth and rust and thieves. It's not going to last forever. It's going to go. Satisfies for only a little while. That's why we have this restlessness in us, even when it comes to things, that we do well for a while and then we have to improve it. Get more of it. Or store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where that kind of thing doesn't happen. Really satisfies, doesn't go away. And it's going to last really forever. What are those things? What are those treasures in heaven?
Uninterrupted sleep.
It's going to happen. So God help us. Let's pray. Okay. Lord, so here we are in your presence this morning. As we are looking at this passage of Scripture, treasures in heaven, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to search our hearts right now. That before we leave this place today, you would help us to respond to this word. That we not just, you know, okay, tune out listening to this message, close our Bibles, and off we go to the day. But Lord, there be something happening in my life. That is really able to look at where my treasure is. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd search our hearts this morning. Help us, Lord, to keep those things that we treasure in their proper place, that they don't crowd out. They don't wiggle their way in. They don't, Lord, replace our relationship with you. Eternal things that are going on. That need to be going on in our hearts.
Lord, I know that you test us in these kinds of things. That we might know the fullness of your love and of relationship with you in our lives. God, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. So we want to continue looking at this. And, you know, one of the places we want to look is Abraham, chapter 22 of his life, where God dealt with him about these kinds of things. And look at this passage of Scripture this week, will you? Look at Genesis chapter 22 in what God asked Abraham to do. And ask yourself the question, why would God do that? I'm not going to fill in all the blanks, but look at it. Look at Genesis 22. Why would God do that? You know? And ask yourself the question, how much of your heart are you putting into it? God bless you. I'm done.